Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6 this morning. We're looking at the first six verses here in a moment. And no, I didn't choose it because of the rain, but Lord saw fit to do that. But this morning, we're going to be looking at a very important area of our life. And ever since the beginning of the human race, man has wanted answers. Answers to his problems and answers to his questions. Today, man thinks he has found all the answers he needs. If you look at the news or anything like that, I think man has found all the answers to different things. And one of the things that just grabbed my attention as I was looking at something is that it was an article. Here is the title. It said this, that scientists believe octopuses are aliens. As a what in the world, because octopuses and all cephalopods can resequence their DNA according to their environment. And so that doesn't go with evolution, so they must be from another planet. Well, they came from the book of Genesis in chapter number 1, amen. We know where they came from. But man thinks he has the answers to these things and tries to make an answer without God. Man thinks the Bible does not have the answers. Man thinks that God is not the answer. But are they right? Are they right? Could they be missing the greatest answer that has ever been given to man? We're going to look at a man who lived long ago, but lived in a world very much like ours today. We live in an evil day. True, it did not have cell phones, Facebook, or modern transportation, or anything like that. But it did have violence and an evil man's desire and man's evil desire for more. And this morning, in a message entitled, Is Jesus the Answer? We're going to look at what God's Word says about that. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Genesis chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1 down through verse number 6 this morning. And it came to pass when man began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men that were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse 6 is important. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I hath created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this message today. Use that in the hearts of those who are here today or those who are watching by the internet today. Lord, I pray that this message would be the answer that maybe someone is looking for. For those of us who are saved, dear Lord, we know that you are the answer. We know that salvation through Jesus Christ alone is the answer. And Lord, so many are searching for the answer. I pray that they would find it today, that they would be honest in their heart of their condition before you, and that they would realize the precious gift you wish to give to them today. I pray that you would guide and direct us in the message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Is Jesus the answer? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, we know that God created in Genesis chapter 1, now not very far from the time of the creation, and after the fall of man, now man is beginning to multiply on the face of the earth. Now, were there as many people as there are today? Probably not. However, the population had a problem, and it's the same problem that the population today has, and that is the problem of sin. Right now, we see, well, right back then, in Genesis chapter 6, we see that there was the godly line of Seth. We see that in chapter 5. And the line Seth is the one that was born after Abel had been killed. And he was a godly man and he sought after the Lord and his descendants did. But in chapter number 6, we see a problem. We see the marriage of the Cainites, which were the descendants of Cain. Remember, Cain murdered his brother and he was cursed by God and is an outcast. And we see that there was an intermarrying of the two lines so that there was the nullifying, if you will, of the godly line. Some people say, well, is this right here that that the angels came down and that they were demon-possessed and all of that stuff? That is nowhere in Scripture, and I don't believe that, and the Bible doesn't teach it. It does tell this about angels in Matthew 22, that they are neither married or given in marriage. So that is not something that is possible, and that God also refers to angels in a particular way. So I don't believe that. Some people do, but that's not what we're talking about today. But we see here that the sin of man had become so great that God regretted, repented, he wished he had never created man because of all the evil that he was. Because God did not create man to be evil. God created man to be good. God created man to be perfect, but the devil got in and deceived, and sin came. But we see first this morning God's judgment. And that we know the universal tenet of God is that he must judge sin. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. God must judge sin. Well, what is sin? It's the transgression of God's law. That which is wrong. Well, who defines right and wrong? God does. Who defines morality? God does. No matter how much we say that we define our own morality, it doesn't change the fact that God is right and man is wrong. Doesn't change the fact that the Bible is correct and man is wrong. But right here this morning, so many people are looking for answers for an emptiness in their life, for a hopelessness in their life. They are looking for true peace. And the answer, is it found in Jesus Christ? Well, we'll find out in a moment. Revelation 20, verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the universal tenet of God, that he will judge sin, that he will judge the sinfulness of man in a real place called hell. Now, we see, well, what about back in Noah's day? Wasn't it much worth? Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 6 again in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Was great in the earth. That there was much wickedness. And it wasn't just a bunch of small things. It was big things. If you look around today, don't we see great wickedness in our day? We see great wickedness. We see great, and that every imagination, the last part of verse 5, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Just filthy minds, evil minds that are just imagining evil things to do themselves, evil against other people, just constant. And you know, maybe you've met someone like that. It seems all they can think about is evil things, sinful things, lustful things. And it's just, it's a problem we see today. And that's very much like the day that we live in. Every thought and imagination was evil. Now let's be honest with ourselves. Do we struggle with evil imaginations and evil thoughts? As a pastor, I don't struggle with that at all. Really, you'd be the first person not to. Because all of us have a sin nature. All of us are born sinners because of the sin of Adam and Eve. The sin of Adam specifically. That's by death has passed upon man. By the sin of man. One man made a mistake and death has passed upon all of us because of it. Every thought and imagination was evil. Now verse 11 of chapter number 6. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. Was corrupt, meaning rotten. There was just a bunch of rottenness around. I mean, you can't look around clean very long before you see some rottenness. Amen. There's rottenness down the street with these strip clubs. There's rottenness everywhere. And we see alcohol flows freely from everywhere. And we see the rottenness and the corruptness of man. But then we see something else here, that in verse number 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Everyone had corrupted his way. Verse 11, the last part, and the earth was filled with violence. Don't we live in a violent day? Violence is everywhere. You can't turn on the television. You can't turn on anything when you find out that someone killed somebody else. Even down in near Galveston this week, a young man, 17 years old, takes a shotgun and a pistol, to school and kills his friends. That's a violent day we live in. We see that happening all over the place. And he said, this was a good kid. He went to church. He was part of his church dance group. Now, we don't agree with that. I don't think it's biblical. But still, he was a spiritual person. But man's evil. Man is evil. And, you know, you listen to the media pundits, and they have the roundtable discussions, you know, 24-hour news services. And like, well, what caused this? You know, was it his family life to blame? Now, maybe be a factor. Was it his parents to blame? Or who was to blame? You know what they make everyone else to blame except the person that did it? Amen? He did it. And he did. He had a plan to it. And you look at it as maniacal and evil. Well, he's sick in the head. Yes, with sin. Absolutely. People blame it on medicines. People blame it on things. Not denying these medicines cause you to do things. Absolutely. I've seen it with my own eyes. Those medicines are no joke. They are serious things. And they cause people to do things and act in a way that is not natural. Try and stay away from them. But all of these things, every thought and imagination was evil, corrupt and filled with violence. All flesh had corrupted his way. Does this sound like today? Does it sound like it does? And the Bible says, when the end shall come, it will be like the day of Noah, when the Christ shall come again. I'm praying he's coming soon. You turn on the news and you hear violence, murders, rapes, dismemberments, abuse, gang killings, school shootings, suicide, you name it, is full of violence and sin. What causes these things? Is it their parents? That's a factor. 90% of felons who are in prisons today don't have a father at home. Or didn't have a father growing up. 90%, that's a pretty big number. Is it their medicines? Is it their therapist's fault? Is it their parole officer's fault? They didn't blow the whistle. No, it's their sin and their wicked heart's fault. Just like in Noah's day. And God's judgment came on the earth in the form of a worldwide flood. And this was the result of man's sin. James 1:15 was the end result of sin. Lust bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the result of sin. It was not a local flood. It was, some people, well, it was a local flood. No, they had never seen a flood before. Remember, there had been no rain on the earth. They didn't know what a flood was. This was a worldwide calamity. Look at Genesis chapter 7 and verses 19 and 20. And you can't deny that it was a worldwide calamity. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Isn't it great that God chose those words on purpose? For those people that say it was a local flood, it covered every high hill and the whole earth under heaven, like everywhere, just in case there's another earth somewhere. It was just, you know, it covered everything. So we can't deny that. Whole heaven were covered. Verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. The highest mountain, 15 cubits. A cubit is a distance between here and here. So that roughly is about probably 30 feet. So the highest mountain was under about 30 feet of water. I think that's the whole earth. A worldwide flood. Why did God do it? Because of sin. So what right does God have to judge the world of sin? Verse 7 tells that. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Is it what right does God have to judge me and my sin? He made you. He created you. He created this whole earth. He has the right to do that. And he did. The judgment for sin is just and holy. Every person here today is worthy of the same judgment. Some people may ask why they are worthy of this. Well, take a look at our heart. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Or sorry, Mark chapter 7, not Matthew. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And God gives us a look into a window into the heart. Where do all of these things come from? The violence, the wickedness in the world. Where does this all come from? Is there some external force? No. Man doesn't need any help to sin. Man doesn't need any help to be wicked. True, the devil tempts us to be wicked, but trust me, man doesn't need any help. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23 tell us this. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Verse 20. What comes out? Actions in his life. It comes from the heart. It comes from the inside. God has a right to judge sin, and God has a right to judge our sin. If we're honest with ourselves, we see our sin. And we look at all of these lists here, and we are honest with ourselves. Do any of these things reside or have resided in our heart at one time in our life? We'd have to admit at least one of them has been present. Therefore, we're a sinner. All of us have lied. All of us have deceived. All of us have done wrong. Maybe lusted after things we ought not. Well, I didn't commit the act of fornication, but you looked at it on the internet. That's fornication. That's sin. The world doesn't see it that way, but we have to admit our sin. 1 John 1:8 is very clear about our sin. If we say, well, I'm not a sinner. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done that. I haven't been that bad. Come on, everybody does it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You're lying to yourself. Can you afford to be wrong? So, well, I don't believe in hell. That's fine. You'll believe there's one someday. Do you really want to stake? What do you have to base that off of? We have everything in our Christian life. We base it all off of the Bible. What do people have to base off? Well, there is no God. Who told them that? Well, some other guy. Well, people are wrong, aren't they? Do we have a reliable source? Do we have a matter-of-fact statement, a matter-of-fact evidence that God is not real? You know what? When you start going down that route, you find more evidence that God is than God is not. You have more evidence that God created than evolutionists believe that we just appeared out of somewhere. We believe the Bible. We have the testimony of God right here of all that he is and all that he, not all that he is. We don't know all that he is because he's eternally omnipotent. But he reveals himself to us here and reveals the judgment of sin, reveals the reality of sin, but also reveals the gift from God in salvation. Gives us all the answers we ever need are right here. If you're looking for an answer, it's right here. Looking for an answer to a problem in life, it's right here. The judgment, this judgment is a real place called hell. Look at Luke 16, verse 19. We see the account of the rich man. Well, that's a parable. I do not believe it is because it starts off in verse number 19. It doesn't start off like he started other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, like or likened. He would use this, but here he does not do this. Jesus says, there was a certain rich man. Meaning specifically, there was a real person, a real rich man. He said, likewise to him, Luke chapter, 16, verse number 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We read on. Abraham says, no, there's a great go fix. I can't come to you. You can't come to me. Hell's a real place. The fire is not quenched where the worm dieth not. Here, and he said, well, why? And I thought about this. Why is the rich man not named, but Lazarus is? Well, let's think about what Jesus said. When people go and they want to enter into heaven, what does he say? Depart from me. I never knew you. And also, you think of something here. How do we know that we're saved? Because Jesus wrote our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lazarus' name was written down. The other man's wasn't. so his name isn't mentioned because God didn't know him. Think about that. Is your name written down there? Now, I ask you this morning, you know, well, I don't know if it's a real place. Well, ask this rich man if hell is real. Ask this rich man if his sin sent him there. Ask this rich man if it was worth it to reject God's provision of salvation. How can man avoid this judgment? Well, God has a plan. It was God's plan to destroy man because of his sin. However, it was also God's plan to make a way for those who still believed in him to be saved. The plan of God for Noah and his family was to build an ark. Now, this was an odd undertaking for sure. Salvation is an odd thing to the world. They look at it and they say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, guess what? What Noah did didn't make any sense to those around him. He was building a big boat. Now, no one else had seen a flood before. No one else. This took a great deal of faith for Noah to do that. Hebrews 11:7 tells us this, that Noah had faith. He is mentioned in the hall of faith, we call in Hebrews chapter 11, where the great leaders and the great men of faith are mentioned. And this took a great deal of faith in Hebrews 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, never seen a flood, never seen rain, never seen the water come up out of the ground, never saw any of that, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and because heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, aren't you glad he had faith? He didn't say, God, well, I won't believe it until I see it. If he saw it, it'd be too late. He just took God at his word. And you know what? It says Noah walked with God. And when God said it, Noah said, yes, sir. And he did it. And you know what? His family was saved as a result. The ark is a picture of salvation. God also has a plan for you to be saved from the judgment of sin, just like he saved Noah and his family from judgment. But here's the sad truth about the ark. I believe there was room for many more people in that ark. There was an opportunity. Why? Because we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, just very close to where you just were in Hebrews, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it tells us something about Noah. Noah was a preacher. Noah told other people. He didn't say, hey, when people come up to, hey, Noah, what are you building that ark for? Well, you know, I just thought I needed something to do in my retirement. You know, I'm just out here just doing my thing. And, you know, my God said, we're going to have a flood, but, you know, you don't need to worry about it. No, what do we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5? And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of what? Righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He preached and he taught and he said, there's a way for you. The flood's coming. There's a way for you to be saved. The judgment of God is coming. There's a way for you to be saved. And guess what? No one believed him. His sons believed, and their families believed, but the world did not. God tells us in Genesis 6:3 that man only had 120 years left before the judgment, but only Noah and his family were saved. Spent over 50 years. It isn't known exactly how long he spent in building the ark, but 50 to 75 years right around in there in building the ark. Today, God also has a plan for you to be saved from the second death in hell for all of eternity. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and for me because our sin must be paid for. Matthew 1:21, what was the proclamation of the angels? He has come to save his people from their sin. He came so that we might be saved. Jesus bled and suffered and died to save us. That's what John chapter 10, verse 9 tells us. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can accept him today. He died for you. He gave himself for you. This is the plan of God to save you from the judgment that is to come. John chapter 10, verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, this is an important verse because God commanded Noah to build the ark. to build it in a particular way. But in the end, Noah didn't save himself. Noah went in that ark, and God shut him in. Genesis 7:16. God, you know, whenever you see it depicted in the movies, it's Noah over there on the pulley and the crank. Him and Shem are pulling it up, you know, and they're closing the door. I'm sorry, that's not how it did it. Maybe they didn't have the special effects for that. I don't know what it was. But back then, when it said in Genesis 7:16, they went into the ark, all the animals in the ark, and God shut that door. Because, yes, did Noah have to build the ark? Yes, but he couldn't have closed the door. If the door was open, he would have drowned everybody else, but it was God that did the saving. God sealed them in. This is a picture of salvation. The Holy Spirit seals us. Ephesians 4:30, we're sealed on the day of redemption. There was no going back. Now, God didn't. Now, Noah was saved. Noah was saved in that ark. And his family was saved by the miracle of God's provision. Now, God didn't throw Noah off the ark because he had a moment of a lack of faith. God didn't throw one of the others off for a bad attitude, though they did not desire to do wrong. Once you get saved, you're always saved. There's no losing it. You're sealed on the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. You're given eternal life. You will not come into condemnation, according to John 5:24. Their presence on the ark was not because of their outward works, it was because of what they believed in their hearts. Because the other people who did not enter the ark, they didn't believe in their heart what God had said. The same is with the salvation of the soul. We are given eternal life, and no one can take that away if we call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can't work your way there. You can't baptize your way there. You can't join the church and get yourself there. You can't do that. Only by the gift of Jesus Christ. Well, when I get saved, am I able to live any way I want to in sin? No. According to Romans 6:1-2, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We won't want to do that. Salvation is not a license to sin. A true Christian does not want to live in sin. He wants to please the Lord. Jesus saves us. The Holy Spirit seals us. What is my purpose in life? Some people ask that question. What is my purpose? Why am I on this earth? Here's your purpose. Mark 12:30. The first commandment of God. This is the whole purpose of man. Mark 12:30. It's not to make a lot of money. It's not to leave an impression on history when you go so everyone knows who you are. Mark 12:30. Verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The purpose of man is to love God. The purpose of man is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you a question here. Is Jesus still the answer? It was the answer for Noah. It was the answer for his family. It was the answer for him to save him from judgment. And he lived in an evil day. And it's still the answer today. God didn't give Noah a 12-step program. God didn't give Noah anything else except go and build the ark. Do what I tell you to do. And he did it. Did not tell him to go do good works. Did not tell him to go and join the local religious society. He told him to build an ark because he was already saved, spiritually speaking. And God judged sin. God judged the world. He promised never to destroy the world again by a flood. But he will destroy the world again one day because of its sin and its curse. So how can you be saved from the judgment? How can you be saved from your sin? Through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Wage is something we earn. Sin is what we have done, and we have earned death as because of our sin. But, conjunction, second thought, the gift of God. The gift of our Heavenly Father, the gift of our Creator, is eternal life. Life without end in heaven for all of eternity through Jesus Christ. Now we just read a moment ago, John 10, verse 9. It said, I am the door. The door to eternal life, the door to heaven. But in that ark, the door to that ark, God shut that door. The first part here, and we see in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. So while I have time, I'm convicted of sin, but I have some time. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that is also flesh. His days shall be 120 years. I said, Pastor, do you believe there's a time where God stops knocking? It's a hard question to answer. But I believe there's indications that man can go to such a degree that God is not unwilling, but that man is unwilling to turn from his sin. Turns him over to a reprobate mind. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man to convict of sin. Well, always. People who harden themselves in sin, you ask them, so don't you feel bad about that? No. No. Had people tell me in my face, so, you know, you commit adultery and do all these terrible things. Doesn't it bother you? No. Doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't faze me one little bit. Not at all. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me. I'm like, whoa. That's someone who has hardened himself in sin. But this morning, there's an opportunity for you. But many people, they say, well, I've got time. I've got some time. I want to make a real decision. And true, God wants you to make a genuine decision, but you don't know how much time you have. God's Spirit might only strive with you. Don't put off what can be done today. Today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Won't you allow God to save you this morning? Maybe you're here and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, but you want to know. We love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe you're a Christian here today. And the world is constantly bombarding you. Is Jesus and the Bible really the answer to everything? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It was the answer for Noah. It was the answer for Moses. It was the answer for Elijah. It was the answer for Elisha. It was the answer for David. It was the answer for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was the answer for them all, and it's still the answer today. It's still the answer. So, Christian, don't doubt that it is. It is. When people come to you, what's the answer to all of this? That's your opportunity to say, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to talk to you about him. I'd love to share with you what the Bible says about how you can know him. He's the answer. Amen? But, oh, he won't. Nobody will be asking you that question if your life doesn't show that he is the answer in your life. A lot of Christians live like he isn't. They search for other things. Live up by other means instead of by the Bible. Won't you let your light shine before men? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, the Bible says. If you're living right and doing right, Noah was doing right, living right. Everyone knew who Noah was. Said, Noah's that weird guy over there, building the big boat. He's a crackpot. Amen? Guess who was still around at the end and who wasn't? And you know, he said, well, Noah just wound joyfully through life. What do you think of Noah the rest of his days? He lived with this. He said, now the Bible doesn't say this, but knowing how human nature is, he lived the rest of his days hearing the screams of people knock on the outside of that ark trying to get in, but it was too late for them. I think it'd be kind of hard to sleep at night. You know what? And we need to hear the screams of people all around us that need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need something. They need the answer. Will we take it to him? Will we take it to him? He's the answer. He's the answer for your life. If you're not saved, if you're already saved, you know he's the answer. You have no excuse. You know he is. But he's the answer to every area of your life. Let's submit to him this morning.